Konnichiwa, and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Arturo.
Konnichiwa, minna.
And Gorz.
Yes, it's me, Gorz.
And I'm your host, Ace. In today's episode, we're talking about Netherworld Battle Chronicle Disgaea, a.k.a. Makai Senki Disgaea, a.k.a. Disgaea, a series from 2006. I chose this one because the latest game in the series, Disgaea Mayhem, has just come out on PC, PlayStation 5, and both Switch consoles. As it's a series, we'll be covering it using the three-episode rule, where we make blanket statements about the entire show after watching just over an hour of it. It was produced by OLM, the studio behind the Animal Crossing movie, Ni no Kuni, and Inazuma 11 movie, The Ultimate Force Team Ogre Attacks, all of which we've covered on this podcast. Disgaea currently has an Anilist score of 63%. Disgaea is a tactical role-playing series developed by Nippon Ichi Software and has released on every PlayStation except for the original since the first game in 2003. There are seven mainline titles and just a whole bunch of spin-offs, re-releases, and complete editions.
That's a fascinating bit of information. Thank you for sharing that.
There's actually been a Disgaea release every year since 2003, except for in 2025.
So wait, why is it that we're watching this like 2 years into the podcast?
Shut up. There's also some manga and light novels. My short synopsis is... an angel finds a demon, and shenanigans occur? Hatsu, what do you have?
Yeah, I had trouble with this one as well. After failing to assassinate her target, the Demon King, the angel joins the ranks of the underworld.
Okay, and goes?
An angel and a demon walk into a bar and have a gay old time.
Okay. So we open on an angel landing in a volcano in front of a flaming castle. Then get the titles. We open back on someone climbing out of a crevasse. They make their way to a cube and push a door down to gain entry. They immediately fall through the stone floor and into a rubbish dump. It's the angel we saw before the titles. She's absolutely elated to find a coffin with the Overlord's crest on it, so uses her magical girl powers to shoot it with an arrow, then dynamite, then a mallet, then throwing axes, then a bulldozer.
Yeah, my favorite was when she started pulling out modern items. I was like, wait a minute, Riot Shield? Are you kidding me? And you deadass began with the bow and arrow.
She finally decides to use a rocket launcher, which finally makes the occupant burst free from inside. Like, it doesn't affect the outside at all. Lahal awakes, and the angel, Flon, introduces herself. She's an assassin slash angel trainee, but Lahal isn't the one she was sent to assassinate. She was after King Krichevskoy, Lahal's father. Lahal is going to attack, but his power goes out. Until Flon tries to use the power of love to heal him. He has a burst of energy, because he hates the word love, and leaves the underground rubbish dump, and is surprised to find himself in the family's tomb. He goes to leave, but a sheet of paper from the Exposition newspaper flies in upon the wind, and they discover that Krichevskoy died 2 years ago. Which means Lahal's been asleep for 2 years and Flon has been searching for 2 years. The castle, which was on fire, was the first place she visited before the titles, you know. So she's really just wasted all of her time because that was where he lived. He's not bothered that the king is dead, as demons don't feel love or sadness. And then a statue attacks him.
Was it a statue or was it just a guy pretending to be a statue for 2 years?
For 2 years. Just as it's about to land a killing blow, a flying craft crashes into the tomb, burying everyone in rubble. The pair get free and check out the craft, only to be greeted by All Might, I mean Captain Gordon, and his assistant Jennifer, as well as their trusty robot Thursday. I meant to look up who did the voice acting for this and who did All Might, because that laugh is noticeable. Jennifer's jiggly bits catch Lahal's attention and he immediately throws up. I haven't seen such a negative reaction to breasts since I gifted Jack a subscription to my wife's OnlyFans.
I'm sorry, you did what now? Actually, wait, maybe that's the wrong question. Your wife has a what now?
Thursday detects poison, so Flon. Oh dear.
It's going to be a long one, holy moly.
Such a weird spelling of that name.
Yeah, it's totally that and not the Shishopsis.
Thursday detects poison, so Flon casts Cure, then introduces them both to their hero human. Gordon, clearly being from America, immediately pulls out his gun. In case you thought that the poison was making him throw up, Lahal looks at Jennifer's chest and feels queasy once more. Like, he's definitely asexual. He's cured by looking at Flon's flat chest, then blows up the tomb, causing the humans and robots to blast off again without that Pikachu.
Yeah, I thought the exact same thing. I was like, oh, it would be so funny if these are like our common villains and they keep doing this to the heroes.
You thought it'd be so funny, did you?
I did, actually. It's always the bad guy.
Lahal decides to head back to his dad's castle, but Flon has lost her pendant. Without it, just being in the underworld will kill her. Elsewhere, it turns out that Thursday is a kleptomaniac and stole the pendant. The demon from before manages to free himself from the rubble, the statue I should have said, and attacks Lahal, but is swiftly defeated. Since Lahal's solution to everything is violence, Flon decides to change her target to him and summons Bahamut from Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I was really surprised about the fact that she just straight up decided, she was like, I know my orders were from above, but you're dead now.
Before the battle can begin, a mysterious figure watches from the rubble, and the episode ends. Episode 2 picks up immediately with the dragon disappearing and Flon collapsing. She begs Lahal to find her pendant in exchange for something nice, which makes Etna jump in to introduce herself. Lahal remembers her and tells her to join him on the trip to the castle. Etna is hesitant, wanting the promised reward, but since Lahal, our protagonist, wants Flon to die slowly and not kill her on the spot, Etna decides that's good enough and they leave. Ooh, a prize or slow death? Yeah. I'm good either way.
I'll say this is what happens when you do get a villain protagonist.
Elsewhere, Jennifer is now wearing the pendant, while Gordon eats a pizza while wearing gloves. Oh, I didn't like that.
Why? What's wrong with gloves?
You need to wash you wash your hands before you pick up a pizza. You don't... He's been wearing those gloves. Like, who knows what's on those gloves?
Maybe
it's a different set. Oh.
It's eating gloves, is it?
Yeah. I'm sure those exist somewhere.
They do in this world.
I mean, it's not a real pizza. It's a microwave pizza. So maybe it's not worth washing your hands for it.
Thursday confirms that the ship is repaired when an angel appears, introducing himself as Archangel Volcanus. He asks for the pendant and leaves once he's been given it. We cut to a volcano where Lahal and Etna are hiking. He tells her his plans for revenge, and her inner monologue suggests that she might know more than she's letting on about how he wound up in the crypt. Back with Flon, a demon lands beside her, but we cut immediately back to a hungry Lahal, and when he tells Etna to make him some food, she grabs her mobile phone and calls some prinnies, demon penguins who say dude. That's D-O-O-D, not D-U-D-E.
Yeah, there's a very clear difference in pronunciation, and I'm pretty sure they'll kill you if you say it the wrong way.
Gnarly dude. After some light threatening, they prepare food, which is when Captain Gordon and company arrive. Elsewhere, Archangel Volcanus touches the pendant, but it burns him, and he drops it into some water, where it disappears. Back with Lyle, Gordon is monologuing from atop an atoll while the demon eats. So they fire a laser at Lyle, but Flon ricochets it back at their ship, making it literally blast off again. So the humans decide to follow the ship, and then Flon tries to fight Lyle, but the demon who found her interjects, and Edna throws homophobia at him. In the sub, she says he likes to put on airs, and the dub went with, "This guy's seriously flaming."
I'm an adult.
Anyway, the guy's name is Viers, and he also wants to be the Overlord, like Lyle does. So Lyle renames him to Midboss, which makes Viers angry, and he draws his sword. But the pendant suddenly falls on his head, and Flon asks for it back. Viers, however, denies the request, but Flon warns that it will punish him if he holds on to it. But it doesn't. Until it does. Then the pendant almost falls into lava as the ground opens beneath Viers. But Lyle manages to grab it and returns it to Flon. He tells her he wants the reward that she promised, and she tells him it's the friends he made along the way. So Lyle leaves with his entourage.
What did he expect from an angel?
Flon wants to join them, so he tells her she can, but she's to serve the Prinnies. We don't see this happen. But the episode ends, and in the credits, it lists Viers as Midboss. Like, it's not Viers, a.k.a. Midboss, it's just, this is who voiced Midboss. I like that. The third episode picks up with the two demons and the angel trainee hiking, with the Prinnies nowhere in sight. Etna is talking about kicking someone in the weak spot, which makes Lyle uncomfortable, so he threatens the pair to never speak of genitals again.
Yep, definitely asexual.
No boobs, no dicks allowed, nothing. Better cover yourself up, Lyle. Your nipples are showing.
He demands to be taken to an inn, but the Prinnies report that there isn't one. However, there's something like an inn. It's the king's old hidden castle museum or something. I'm not too clear on what it was. But it's nothing like an inn.
It has a bed-ish.
Yeah, the bed is one of the exhibits, which Lyle decides he's going to sleep on anyway. He falls asleep while Flon presses buttons, making the bed act like it's in an Austin Powers movie. A Prinny from out of nowhere starts throwing bounty notices around, which show Lyle. So Etna tackles the Prinny and threatens him. Lyle, however, notices, but Etna folds the note at the bit of paper so it hides the bounty reward, so he thinks it's just, hey, look, he's back.
Yeah, just ignore the big wanted sign that says wanted, but doesn't show the money price. Like, I guess for him, it was a we want our demon king back.
The flyers were Edna's idea, and she thinks to herself about her plan to take the throne in the confusion once someone somewhere kills Lyle. Later, Archangel Volcanus arrives and manages to trap himself in one of the exhibits. I think that we were supposed to take notice of him knocking over the statue when he arrived, but that comes back later, and it didn't really stand out as something I should make a note of now. In the morning, Lyle wakes and is shocked to find the two women sharing his bed. He falls off the bed, and Flon uses an ableist slur.
Yeah, just normal angel behavior.
Incidentally, the slur is in the sub and the dub. The ladies, however, are in each other's clothes, and strangely acting like each other. That might be why he was freaking out, not the fact that they were in the bed with him. But, like, I didn't notice at first.
Oh, me neither. I was like, oh my god. He was just insulted by the fact that two women were sleeping with him.
But it's okay, they have flat chests.
Oh, that's true. They shouldn't make him queasy.
After Flon team rockets some Prinnies, Lyle realizes that they're acting differently. Like, that was his first hint. Etna shows them around the museum and tries to get them to insert a coin into a Zoltar. but the pair refuse, so the statue doesn't gain any lines. I laughed out loud at that. They check out the arcade and then go back to the main hall where they see the two-tongued clam, which is what Volcanish trapped himself inside of. But they don't open it. Suddenly, Captain Gordon and company turn up and Rebecca menaces Lahal with her cleavage. This is actually a, I've just realised, a reverse of what we had several episodes of.
You know, it is a nice change of pace.
Usually it's, hey, give me them boobs, not, hey, keep those boobs away from me.
You're bringing the age rating up. Get the fuck out.
It seems that Lahal summoned medical help for his vassals, and since the humans are working for the medical service, they're who turned up. The diagnosis is role reversal syndrome, which Lahal already knew, so he team rockets them. Again. The Zoltar suddenly comes along, as it's actually Vyas, for some reason trapped as a statue, and he tells Lahal to chuck the women through a door from which there is no escape. Lahal asks why, but the Prinnies do it and then toss him in too for good measure.
This is probably a mutiny.
They each hallucinate a nightmare, but they manage to shake it off thanks to their swap personalities, which also makes them change back to normal in time to save Lahal from Jack's nightmare, sexy women. Lahal blows up the room, I think. There's a big explosion and suddenly they're not in the room. And then they leave, as does Volcanus. But when he crashes into a statue, or the same statue, it causes the demons, angel trainee, and a prinny all to swap personalities. And the episode ends. So, has this made you want to check out Disgaea Mayhem?
So, you said it's a turn-based like strategy game, right?
I did.
Yeah, how does this translate into a turn-based strategy game? What the hell? I was watching the thing and it's very childish, right? That's what I kind of took from this. And then you're like, oh yeah, it's a turn-based strategy. I'm like, those two just don't compute with one another. That's all to say no.
Oh, I apologize. The main series is turn-based strategies, but apparently Disgaea Mayhem is an action RPG.
Oh, well, in that case. Yeah, it was very jarring to see the games and see the characters be way older. It's like, wait a minute, there's actual time and consequence in this anime?
I actually played Disgaea 5 a few weeks ago to prepare myself for this, and while the world is intriguing, the gameplay is not. I mean, I'm not going to play this day one, but if it comes on one of the subscription services that I happen to be subscribed to, then I'll definitely give it a go.
Honestly, even the original game looks pretty fun. Like, the attack animations are great.
Well, there's nothing wrong with the tactical RPG ones. It's just not my sort of game. I don't like taking my turns and then waiting for them to take their turns. I want like instant gratification, not I don't want to spend 5 minutes waiting for the computer to make up its mind.
What you want is a Meat Lovers. I mean Expedition 33.
So is this a Yata, Nani, or a Baka, Arturo?
So I was coming in here thinking it was a Nani, but I think it's, if I reframe kind of what it is and I try to imagine it more like a kid's show, I actually think it's a Yata. It has silly premises, interesting characters, and though it's not for me, I actually think it's a cute show that I would be willing to watch.
And goes?
Yeah, I think it's great. It's it has a consistently comedic tone. It doesn't ever swap it for something else, and that's perfect.
In the first 5 minutes, she's driving a bulldozer. And that's never mentioned again. Yeah, I gave this a Yata, and I'd really like to watch the rest of this. So does it deserve its Annie List score of 63%?
I think I understand why the score is so low, because again, it just feels kind of childish in comparison. And if the characters age the way they do, I can see how this might start feeling a bit outdated if this guy starts tackling heavier themes. But I thought it was a little bit mean. Like, it seems a bit low for what you're actually getting, at least in these first three episodes.
Yeah, I thought it was way too low, honestly. If I try to be objective, I don't see anything wrong with it. Maybe it adapts the story badly, but the tone seems faithful to the game, and the art style that actually is... Like, I've seen this game many times before. I never played it, but the art style is fairly unique, and they recreated very well in the animation.
You've seen it before sometime in the last 23 years.
Yes, every year. Except for the dark year of 2025.
I mean, to be fair, the plot moves a little slow. It's a steady pace, but it seems to be a slow pace. So if there's no payoff at the end of episode 12, it's only a 12-episode series, I can see why people would dislike it. But based on these first three episodes, yeah, I got no idea why it's so low.
Yeah, my only concern is that we're already like 25% into the show. And we don't know much. I mean, sure, we know the Demon King's dead and he's going to go claim his throne, but... I don't know. I can't decide whether the angel's a good person or a bad person. I can't decide whether the humans are good people or bad people. Heck, I can't decide if our angel is a good person or a bad person.
I mean, the archangel is not a good person because he gets burnt by the amulet.
That is a good point, actually. It didn't occur to me. I thought it was more like how I took that was that the amulet was like, leave me go. I must go to my owner, so...
Okay, well, that brings us to the end of our episode. Thank you for joining me, Atsur and Goz.
Thank you so much for having us.
Cheers.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge. And better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrim.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Grimcast podcast. Sorodewa. Game on.